My name is Sarah Dahl. I work for Members First Federal Credit Union. Thank you so much to Community Media for having me out again as a guest host. I have two lovely folks here from the VNA with us. Would you guys like to introduce yourselves?
Sure. Jamie, you go first.
I'm Jamie Keller, a longtime social worker at the VNA of Hanover and Spring Grove. I've been with the agency almost 18 years, providing primarily hospice social work support, and recently transitioning to a dual role with being the clinical liaison.
Very good. And I am Kevin Maloney. I am the president and CEO of the VNA of Hanover and Spring Grove. I will be celebrating my 4-year anniversary in 2 weeks. My background, actually, I am a physical therapist, but I've been in this area since 1996, worked for Hanover Hospital for quite some time, and did a short stint with WellSpan for about 3 years, and then had the opportunity to take on the CEO role here in Hanover, and truly a labor of love for me. It's great. I think both Jamie and I love being a part of the community and love being able to support it with an organization, you know, like the VNA.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So the VNA's been around for a long time. Can you give us a little bit of a history on the organization, where it started and all the changes that sure it's too long to list, but.
Yeah, no, it's been around since 1909.
Yep.
And do you want to fill in any of the blanks to start, Jamie?
I mean, we are over 100 years old.
Yes.
Not the two of us,
yeah.
But the agency as a whole. Together, we make almost 100.
We might. Yeah, we might.
Yeah, it's been an amazing organization. Over 100 years old, 1914, when we opened up the doors.
Yeah, the history is, I was actually reading it right before we came again, but it all started back in 1904, I believe, the Hanover Civic League, which was a group of 54 women that got together at the, I can't remember the name of the hotel, but it was
O'Brien Hotel.
O'Brien Hotel, and I don't even know where that would have been at the time. But they got together because they wanted to make Hanover better. So they wanted to address different things within the community that needed support. They wanted to put trash buckets on the street. They wanted to do, the streets were dirt back then, so they wanted water sprinkling to keep the dust down, and they wanted to...
water fountain.
Yeah, the water fountain in Wirt Park. And then as they evolved, that's when the VNA came into play. So in 1909, as the Civic League started to really gain some momentum, one of the things that they really wanted to focus on was healthcare in the community. So with that, they brought on their first nurse. Her name was Florence DeHaven Stick. We still talk about her a lot today. But she was the first nurse who actually started working for the VNA, and she was a jack of all trades.
Yeah.
I mean, she did a little bit of everything.
She had to.
Yeah.
She was a one-man band.
Yeah.
So she had to, basically.
Yeah. So if she wasn't doing, I forget how many surgeries she assisted with her first year. But I mean, when she wasn't assisting with surgeries, she was out seeing patients. She was seeing 7 to 8 patients a day, doing some newborn care as well. But like talking about jack of all trades, and you know, she's carrying her little nurse bag around probably, but there's a lot of bag of tricks in there probably,
yeah, for
you
sure.
know?
So how long did she, so she was the first nurse, did mm-hmm. she, how long was she with the organization as it continued to grow?
Rough idea. Yeah, I'm trying to think, she was with the organization
I think 23 years is
yeah,
the
something
number
like
that sticks
that.
In my head.
Right, and then they started adding, you know, more nurses to the organization. It's really kind of interesting to read the history because it goes almost like every 10 years there was almost like another milestone that was reached. And it got to the point, I'm not going to get all of the dates right, but... there was a point where they branched off and formed a Spring Grove VNA. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of running concurrent to the Hanover one. And I remember reading the history, like to schedule an appointment in Spring Grove, you had to call the local pharmacy and then the pharmacy would make the arrangements to have the nurse come out, which was actually pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
And then, A lot of times people are always asking us, well, where does the name come from, the VNA of Hanover and Spring Grove? And actually, that is the history of it. Fast forward another 20 or 30 years, I don't know the date exactly, But those two agencies merged together, and thus the name. In modern times, though, we find that it's a little bit of a misnomer because we cover all of Adams County, and we cover southwestern York County. Those are the regions that our nurses kind of go out to. So we find ourselves explaining ourselves a lot. But it's kind of cool in a way because, I mean, again, it's the history. I mean, it's so many years of everything all kind of culminating to one, and we're still relevant in the community.
Yeah, it sounds like it really evolved to what the community needed and just as it grew, which is awesome, which is ideally what you would want it to do.
Right, exactly. Awesome.
So with you guys being a nonprofit, can you get into the little bit of nitty-gritty of how your funding, where that comes into play, and how you sustain?
Do you want to take that one, Jamie?
Yeah, so this is a duo because, you know, I know the surface things. Kevin knows the diving deep of the of the financials. So one of the biggest things that we're supported by are community donations. Being a nonprofit, we, especially in our hospice program, we don't bill our patients overhead because what we receive from Medicare, it is a small amount, and it does not cover, it basically covers one nursing visit. And like our daily stipend covers about one nursing visit. So, you know, when you have nurse, social worker, chaplain, aide, who am I missing? Volunteers coming in, providing all the durable medical equipment, providing all the medications related to the diagnosis and comfort.
Right.
You have expended that drop in the bucket very quickly. So, We do a lot of fundraisers. We are involved in the community. So it, speaking of Florence DeHaven, her family is still involved with our agency today. Generations down the line, but they are still involved and play a big part in keeping the agency alive.
Yeah, and I think to kind of build off of what Jamie was saying too is that so the two service lines that we provide are both home health and hospice, and we get reimbursed from insurance companies just like any other medical service. But what has changed quite a bit in our service line since the COVID days is that we continue to get one of the trends that happened after COVID, everybody wanted to be home. You know, nobody wanted to be in the hospital. Nobody wanted to be anywhere else other than home. And that trend has persisted. And what we're finding is that we are now taking care of people at home that were that are a lot more sick than what they were prior to COVID. So what typically a person may have spent 3 or 4 days in the hospital for and then came home, they're spending a day in the hospital. And then they're being sent home because the hospitals need those beds too. So what we are tasked with is that we are now seeing people who are sicker at home, which requires more people to take care of, more supplies to take care of. And just, it's a lot more expensive for us to take care of somebody. And the trend with insurance companies and our reimbursement is that hasn't changed much. So even though we're doing more, we're utilizing more supplies, it's taking more of our staff to manage these sick people, the reimbursement that we are getting for providing that care hasn't changed a whole lot. And there's not many healthcare models where that has happened. Most of them see some level of an increase. There are some years that we actually see a decrease. So that is why we still do what we do. You know, we still provide quality care as necessary. But where, like Jamie said before, where that gap lies is that, you know, it's hard for a healthcare agency to continue to do what it does and get less money for it. You know, everybody wants more money for doing what they're doing. So that's where the donations are so important. And as a non-for-profit, obviously we rely on that. But we really try to share with people all the good that we do. And we touch the lives of so many people in the community that a lot of them recognize that when they do support us or give us a donation. Sometimes it's in memory of this person or you came and took care of this family member when we had a hip replacement or whatever, you know, so we want to support you. So, so it's a lot. I mean, it's a lot of work, but, you know, I think I can speak for Jamie and I said it before, you know, it's a labor of love. I mean, we love what we do, but yes, it's a lot of work. We need to, we need the community to support us as much as we're supporting them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that it would take a high level of passion for this line of work. And mm-hmm. kind of to piggyback off of that, you said that you're taking care of people that are more sick than they were prior. Does that mean that there's more training and like things that you have to do developing your staff? Has that changed since COVID that you have to put more into that?
Definitely.
That's a really good point.
On our home health side, for sure. Mm-hmm. The wounds that we're seeing in home health are far more extensive than they were 5 years ago, 10 mm-hmm. years ago, where we would, the goal in home health is always, we come in, we get you better, we get you back out on the street.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We never want somebody to be homebound or stuck at home or in a bed any longer than what they have to be.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have like certified wound nurses now, whereas before we didn't need as strict of a regimen or a training module because the nurses coming out of nursing school knew how to handle it, but it is far more extensive than what it used to be. And that's just one example.
Right.
Yeah. Surgeries, all kinds of
things. Yeah, and I mean, even like if you think about like patients who are on IVs, they may be on those for a long period of time. We're, you know, taking care of them in the home where a lot of times they wouldn't leave the hospital while they're still on those. So mm-hmm. those are supplies, their monitoring equipment, that sort of thing that we have to have in place. And the other thing that we also have been implementing and we continue to improve upon is you'll hear us talk about like telehealth.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the advances of telehealth is that we can, you know, put a iPad or some sort of a monitor in a patient's home, especially the ones that we know are sicker, or there are certain diagnoses that we really have to make sure we stay on top of, because all it takes is a quick change in something
mm-hmm.
and they might have to get readmitted to the hospital, and we don't want that to happen. But we can't be there 24/7. Mm-hmm. But if you remember, they used to be in the hospital where they did get 24/7 care. So we do have telehealth units that we use now so that we can monitor a lot of that. But what comes with a telehealth unit is it costs money to mm-hmm. use those. So we pay a lease on those. Unfortunately, most insurances still don't cover that. You would think that they would because it keeps somebody. So that's just another level of work that we have to put in place just to make sure that when we do accept somebody to take care of them at home, that we're making sure that we're giving them everything that we can to, you know, keep them safe and get them back to being healthy.
I gotcha. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of, specifically in Adams County, a lot of the medical offices and things, they've been struggling with staffing post-COVID. So I know that when I had talked with Jamie a little while back, we had talked that there's going to be a scholarship that's going to be coming out for the VNA to help kind of promote people to go into that line of work and then to stay in the area as well, because I know that's been a struggle. Can you elaborate a little bit more about that and what that's going to look like?
Yes. Our scholarship is in honor of Florence D. Haven
mm-hmm.
Stick. So that's very, very exciting. She's near and dear to everyone who crosses the VNA path. Mm-hmm. We are looking at launching that probably mid-February
mm-hmm.
Awarding the scholarships at the end of the school year. So we have $50,000
mm-hmm.
to give this year, which is huge for the VNA.
Mm-hmm.
And basically the requirements are you must live in our service area. So Adams County and then York from 83 and west
mm-hmm.
towards, you know, the Adams York line, and be enrolling or enrolled in a nursing program. So this is for LPNs and RNs.
Okay.
So very exciting. I'll be reaching out to a lot of the local schools and hoping to get in front of them and the students and like apply. Because we want to have as many people as possible to
that's
get
awesome.
A little piece or a large piece of this scholarship.
Yeah, so and Jamie had mentioned it earlier, but I think it's been 2 years that we haven't been able to offer the scholarship only because we didn't have the funding to do so.
Mm-hmm.
But what the cool thing this year is, she mentioned the Stick family who are descendants of Florence. They actually donated the money this year so that we could actually do this, and they do it because they want to, honor their grandmother
mm-hmm.
And continue to support her legacy. So I can't remember when we've been able to offer a scholarship that big, but to have that amount that we can, you know, kind of dole out depending on the number of applicants that we get and the number of applicants that we pick. So yeah, so we're excited about it. Yeah.
Awesome.
And there's not amazing. I don't know, there doesn't seem to be as many opportunities as there used to be for the different scholarship programs. So mm-hmm. we're excited that we'll be able to do that again.
Yeah. Give back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Mm-hmm. So you kind of touched on a little bit. So you do the home health services and then you have hospice services as well. Can mm-hmm. you kind of go into if there's anything else that you cover or more detail about what those services, what sure. that means for those that don't know?
Yeah.
Sure. Do you want me to tackle home health and you can have hospice?
That's fine. And palliative care somewhere in between.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So we actually offer, in a sense, three service lines. So there's home health. And then palliative care is kind of in between. I'm going to let Jamie tackle that one. And then from palliative care, it shifts over to hospice. So we offer this continuum of care, essentially. Home health is really for anyone who needs that additional level of medical care at home. So it can be somebody with chronic heart failure, any type of medical condition that just needs that additional level of help. Maybe somebody just had a knee surgery or a back surgery and they're homebound prior to maybe going to outpatient therapy or something like that. We have wound patients that we see, IV patients that we see. But we have a whole contingent of staff in home health. So we have nurses, we have LPNs, so RNs and LPNs. We also have physical therapists, occupational and speech therapists. Not every patient needs all of that, but we have that whole continuum of care. We also have home health aides that will come in and help out with the activities of daily living, we call them. And then we have social workers that help. You know, a lot of times people come out from a sickness or a surgery or whatever, and they just don't know what resources are available for them. So I always say our social workers are like they kind of fill in all the gaps and connect them to the different services that are out there. So that's a lot of what we do on the home health side, and that's a big chunk of the business. On any given day, we have a census of probably a little over 200 patients that we're seeing. And so then I'm going to pass the baton to Jamie. She's going to tell you about palliative care and hospice. Yes. Yes.
So palliative is like the step between. Mm-hmm. I have a terminal illness, but I'm not ready for hospice. I'm probably still getting treatment. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of wavering in between. Technically, it's run under our home health umbrella. Mm-hmm. So it's not hospice, but it's almost hospice level of care, but just you're still in the home health range. Okay. So you kind of got one foot in each service line. Kind of a really cool program. We're the only home health agency that provides it.
Right.
Yeah. We're also the only home health agency that has speech therapists.
Right.
So pretty cool for us.
Yeah.
Hospice side, most people know what hospice is, end of life care. We provide the care by admitting patients who have a life expectancy that is ordered by a doctor that mm-hmm. is 6 months or less of life expectancy. The problem with that is, you know, people live far longer, people live far shorter. Mm-hmm. We can't really determine that.
Right.
But with that being said, they must have a terminal illness. Mm-hmm. And we're providing not 24-hour care, but we offer 24-hour nurses on call. We have social workers, aides, chaplains, volunteers. And our volunteers work kind of on both sides also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point.
But trying to provide care for the patient and family as a whole versus we're only coming in for one particular task, whereas home health is very task-oriented. Mm-hmm. And like, we want to get in, we want to get you better, we want to get you back out to church, to the community, to your work, wherever. Mm-hmm. Hospice, you don't have to be homebound. So we're encouraging you to get out and do whatever you can do on those good days, mm-hmm. And you know, helping with those things as you go along. But mm-hmm. the care that we provide on both sides is pretty impeccable, honestly.
Right.
And our the team that we work with, they're amazing.
Yeah, we're very
so we are blessed.
For the
yes,
team that we
for
have.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you have some great testimonials from families just coming in and that phase of their life, unfortunately, and just the impact that you guys and the staff make being there to help through that and just make sure their loved one is comfortable and has what they need.
Right.
Yes.
So are there any memories that stick out to you that have kind of, because not every day is great, you know, you have those rough days, but those good days, they almost make up for the ones that aren't so great.
Yes.
So
right.
Do you have any stories that just kind of tugged at your heart and that just make it worthwhile for you?
Yeah, we recently have had a patient who their dying wish was to see their child graduate. And unfortunately, they probably weren't going to make that time frame. So our social worker and nurse got on it and contacted the school and worked through the school, and they had a graduation ceremony for this child.
Mm-hmm. Right,
so
in the home.
Pretty amazing.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Cap and gown, diploma, everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The principal presented everything.
Yeah.
That was pretty amazing.
Yeah. It was really cool.
Oh my gosh. And then the memory for the child too, to have
that
parent still there for that.
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, it's like, I mean, it makes me proud. I mean, I love working with the team that I work with, but it makes me proud because we get thank you cards all the time from people who have been impacted on both sides, but a lot more so on the hospice side just because of the nature of what we do. But I think one of the things that we hear more often than not is, you know, the term hospice has such a kind of, I guess sometimes a negative connotation to it. Nobody wants to commit to hospice, but the common thing that we always hear after a loved one passes is, oh, you guys did such great work. I didn't know everything that you can do. I wish we would have brought you in sooner, you know? And so I think, you know, Jamie goes out and speaks a lot to that, but that's like the message that we're always trying to get out. It's like there's so many things that we can do, not only to help the patient, but to help the family, again, to connect the dots to different resources, you know, and that sort of things, and different levels of support. And we're very proud that, you know, that has garnered us a five-star recommendation from Medicare. Mm-hmm. And we're the only hospice agency in this region to hold that level. And it's not an easy thing to get, but it's something that we're very proud of and that
hey,
we tout as much as we can. And we're local, too, because there are a lot of hospice agencies in the area, but we are the one that has been around for forever. We're the only one that has the five-star rating, and we're the only one that can guarantee you that the people that are going to be coming into your home are people that are from this community, you know, and that's what's really cool about it too. You know, I know the team, Jamie knows the team, and like, you just know that we're going to be able to provide, you know, top-notch service to anybody that is seeking.
Well, it's a really vulnerable time too.
Oh, it is.
So having the trust of the people coming in, you build relationships, and good or bad, those memories, they're going to be involved in that. So you want to make sure you have the right crew to help you with that.
Yeah, and oftentimes our nurses are there, or one of our people are there, you know, when that last breath is breathed, you know. And the families become, you know, very attached to, and how can you not? Because, I mean, our team becomes part of the family in those last couple of days because we're there to help them through everything.
Yeah, they're imprinted in those memories.
Right, yeah.
I was telling Kevin on the way here, I remember my very first hospice death.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was hired in October, and the patient died Christmas Eve.
Oh.
And so, like, I know where, I can remember where the patient lives. We later had his son on services. Mm-hmm. And just reconnecting was, you know, it was, they're like, oh, my gosh, you're still here, basically, you know, 15 years later at the time. But you just, you leave a little piece of you with that family, and you get a little piece of them, and you carry it with you, each and every one of them. So.
Well, and I think the other thing, I didn't think about it until right now, but the other thing, too, is that when that loved one passes, the next level of support that we provide are on bereavement services. Mm-hmm. So we are there to support the family after that. We offer a support group at the VNA that's, you know, run primarily by our social work team. But, you know, and a lot of times, I think just the other day, a lot of times family members will come in just because they want to, they miss the staff, or they just want to check in and say hi, or sometimes they bring us food, which we always love. but there's just that connection that's there, and that's one of the other things that we do every year is we do a butterfly release every year. So that's coming up at the end of May. And that really is, it's a fundraiser for us, but it's also a really cool recognition event where a lot of our patients who have lost a loved one in the last year or even beyond, you know, can purchase butterflies, and we do a neat ceremony and we release the butterflies. But I always love the event because it's a bit somber, but it's also almost like a reunion because a lot of the people, it's the first time maybe that they've seen their nurse since that has happened and that sort of thing. But it's just a really cool event.
Yeah. So you said that people can purchase butterflies. Is there any other way for the community to help with that event or to get involved to show support?
Go ahead.
Event is mainly the support needed is to purchase butterflies. We do, the staff and volunteers puts this event on for those in the community, whether they are our bereaved and our patient or any random person who would like to do it in honor of their loved one. We love that. We love when people come in and like, and just to honor their loved one we may have had no connection to, but it's just really cool to open that up to the community. So we do advertise for that on our Facebook page and our website, and the actual date for the release is May 31st, and they'll go on sale in March. So it'll start being advertised in March, and then we're off with the races. I think last year we did 250 butterflies. So this year it will be larger. So it's pretty exciting.
And a lot of times our Facebook page and then our website is vnahanover.org. But it has a lot of the information on it. There's a giving page there, too. So to your question of how else can they support us, like I mentioned earlier, we're always looking for support. We're always looking for donations. There's a giving page on there where people can easily provide any, you know, donational support to us. There are different funds, like if they want to donate specific to home health or specific to hospice, when the butterfly release comes along, we'll have a specific area to donate towards that. So that is typically updated with our most recent information. And we actually we talked about the history earlier, so we're actually working right now to add another page to our website that has our history too, because it's so important to the agency. We thought it would be really cool to have that on there so people could see how it all came about.
Sure, like a timeline history.
Yeah, exactly.
I would love to read that. That'd be awesome.
That's what we have, yes.
We got it.
That's
great. So how can people in the community, if they unfortunately would need to utilize hospice services or the home health services, how do they get in touch with the VNA? How do they?
Actually, it's lots of ways, really. A person can self-refer. For any of our services, they can self-refer. So they can call and say, I need you for XYZ. They have to meet a criteria to actually be admitted on either side, at which point we contact the doctor and say, your patient Susie called, this is what's going on with them. Do you feel they're appropriate for home health or hospice? We have to have a doctor's order, and the doctor continues to follow them in the community. So we are essentially the eyes and ears of the doctor in both service lines. So it allows us to, you know, connect that way. The other way is the doctor just calls us directly. They have an appointment. This is what happened. You need home health or you need hospice services. You can also, I've had a number of people reach out just word of mouth. I, you know, my neighbor's cousin had you for X. Can you help me with this? And oftentimes we can provide that care, whether it be home health or hospice. So lots of ways to get referred throughout the medical community, self-referrals, and even just contacting us. We can contact us through the website or just telephone calls.
Yeah, the website has all of that information on it. And as you go through the different pages on the website, in the at the very top it says, click here to speak to a care coordinator. And what it does is it gives you the phone number that will get you into the agency to talk to our intake staff, who can provide pretty much all the information that Jamie just said. And there's actually an email field in there too. So if you want to, if you're more comfortable just communicating via the email, we'll get the message that way and we will punt it along to the right person. So
I learned something new today, the self-referral thing. I wasn't aware of that. I would have assumed, you know, just without, knowing any better, that it would have needed to be a referral from a doctor. So that's awesome that if people are kind of, they're in that limbo period or they're just unsure, that's really nice to know.
Sometimes they just need to advocate for themselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, doctors are overwhelmed as well as every other healthcare agency in our world today, unfortunately. And sometimes they're just advocating for themselves.
Right. And I think, like in any of these processes, whether it's home health or hospice, like any way that we can make it easier for somebody. Mm-hmm. So like if they call us and they have questions to ask, and knowing our intake staff, they will bend over backwards to help them out, answer the questions, even if it doesn't even mean that we're getting a referral, you know. But they will do whatever they can, and they've been doing it for so long. They have connections with everybody, so they know who to call. They can get everything they need and just make the whole process easier.
That's great. Yeah. That's all you can really ask for.
Yes.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that, oftentimes a rough situation that needs to be as smooth as possible to get some of that pressure off.
And I think it's a lot of it is because we are, I mean, we're a community-based non-for-profit. We're not affiliated with any other big group, but we've been doing this for so long, and we're part of the community that's what you're going to get when you work with us, you know, and it's just a... It's just a really cool thing, and it makes it easy for people like Jamie and I to come out and, you know, tout our services because we know we do a good job.
Yeah.
We got a good crew.
That's good. That's something to be proud of because it's not that way everywhere.
Right.
So it's definitely something to celebrate, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So is there anything else that you want the community to know about the VNA? Anything that we missed? Anything special you want to highlight?
We can always have volunteers.
Okay.
Right.
So if anyone is bored or would just like to come hang out with us every day, we would love additional volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
Our volunteers are not just patient care, though. So they do everything. They do clerical in our office. Mm-hmm. There's some that run errands for us. We have hospice doves that when a patient passes, the family gets a dove from us. They deliver those things. They help with our events, but they also provide companionship in the home, doing even some meal prep, just sitting with a patient, providing respite for caregivers, all those things. So we can always use volunteers.
Yeah.
And one thing we did not mention is where we provide our services. So geographically, York and Adams counties, but we provide home health is just in the home.
Okay.
As well as personal care homes. Hospice is any facility. So skilled nursing facility like a nursing home, personal care, assisted livings, hospice houses. We have some that are in the community now, and we do utilize them as well as in homes.
Okay.
So we are everywhere.
Yeah. And I think otherwise, I mean, as a community-based agency, it's really like... if you've had a good experience with us, spread the word.
Right.
You know, because we rely on the community to support us too.
Mm-hmm.
We have a Facebook page. Neither Jamie and I are masters at social media, but we have a social media page, and we do try to post updates on there. And I like us on Facebook. Share our posts. You know, if we are doing a fundraising event, anything like that is always helpful.
Yeah.
Because that's a lot of times the modern day of spreading the message. So anything that the community can do to help support us, we would be very grateful.
And we're not an agency that, because we're nonprofit, that has a huge advertising budget. Mm-hmm. We don't really utilize that. We utilize the word of mouth. Like our reputation speaks for itself. So chances of someone hearing about us from another person is far more likely than seeing us post in a magazine or something like that.
this is the marketing department.
This is
right
us.
Here.
Hey, you guys are doing great. You're doing great.
Yeah. We're like the Antiques Roadshow, but not so antique.
Yeah. Yes.
That's good. Well, thank you so much for coming out and chatting with me today.
Yeah,
I really appreciate it.
Thank
you again to Community Media for having me out again as a guest host. My name is Sarah Dahl with Members First Federal Credit Union.
Thank you.
Thank you.